lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 173, stanzas 5 and 6. He led in safety through the flood the people of his choice. He turned the sea to solid ground. In him let us rejoice. 5 and 6 of 173.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle general of Peter, thereof the fifth chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to thee in this afternoon hour in thy house of prayer. And we have heard it a moment out of thy word, the direction from thy Holy Spirit, and that is given unto us that we are called to feed the flock of God. O Lord, then there must be hunger and there must be thirst. Oh, may it be in the midst of us, and that there is indeed a flock of God that hungers and that thirsts for spiritual meat and drink. Because we are hungry and thirsty by nature for all that is carnal, sensual, and devilish. Oh, that thou may grant us to gather new hearts. We are part of that flock in an outward way. But when we will be made truly thy sheep, then we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we shall be filled. Oh, that there might be young and old so among us, also in this afternoon hour, that have come up with a cry, with a soul's need into thy house of prayer, with a panting and a longing for a little crumb from that master's table. And Lord, then we are instructed to feed such ones. Oh, thou knowest the impossibility, and we know not who that they are. And everything that we can give has to come from thee. But we may read it in thy word that thou didst take a few loaves and a few fishes. Thou thyself didst pray unto thy Father, and thou didst distribute it unto thy servants who did give it unto the flock. O Lord, that we may be just a little instrument in thy most holy fingers, who knowest the hunger and the thirst, for thou hast put it there, and who knowest where what they stand in need of, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke, a word to lead a little further in that way of knowledge of the Son, of knowledge of the Father, of knowledge of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, that thou may give thy word free course in the midst of us in this afternoon hour, under the instruction of our forefathers, and that thy word may speak unto our hearts, that we in the Meshech of the wilderness here below may receive a little manna from above, thereby to sustain us as we do travel upon life's journey a little further, another Sabbath day, another week closer to our eternal abode. Oh, that thou may bind these matters upon young and old. Remember our children and all of the youth. Oh, care for them. Give them not to forget so easily the callings that have come unto them in such a powerful way. Remember thou all those that mourn. Bless all the means that thou dost use for our conversion. Care thou for parents, grandparents. Remember in all the needs of each and every day, and provide for thy church also in this day when thou givest that we may install a man into the office of deacon. O Lord, thou hast inclined his heart. We do beseech thee for him, and that thou may remember him in the office wherein thou dost call him. Oh, that he might experience that is even in these labors, that thou art near to him, and that thou may give him help feelingly and believingly from above. Oh, that he might serve in all the love of his heart, that he might serve in all faithfulness, and that thou may endue him also with that spirit of Stephen so many years ago. Lord, remember his wife, for we read it also in thy holy word, that even so must their wives be grave. Oh, then she is also an example in the midst of the flock. Oh, then who can do also be in that place also? Lord, be on her right and on her left, as also as she does bear up under the burdens with her husband, and be with their children. O Lord, wilt thou bless them and strengthen them also to give a little of their life even for the church, and that thou may supply for all the needs as a family, despite all the labors that must be performed. Remember all of our elders and our deacons, Lord, that thou may supply each and every day also for their families. And wilt thou bless the labors in the midst of the congregation, that there may be also prayer for each and every one of them, and that thou may give also a bearing up of the burdens at the throne of grace, and a making of it easy in the labors of the kingdom of the Lord, and that there may be a desire to profit therefrom in all the needs of body and of soul. Wilt thou give what is necessary unto our flock also to provide for the deacons a heart that is full of love, though we have but a few pence. Lord, that thou may remember all thy servants. Oh, do give, and that they may labor with all the faithfulness of body and of soul, and that thou may strengthen also for the labors. Oh, we remember and lay before thee once again our brother in the ministry, when that awful disease has been confirmed in the week that is gone by. Oh, Lord, thou knowest what is before him. Oh, we beseech thee for help from above. Oh, for thy presence and for thy felt nearness. Oh, that they may speak continually of thy goodness, and that thou may bless all the means that will be used if thou wilt give it, and that thou may heal him, and that he may labor in the midst of his flock and in the midst of our denomination and in the midst of our theological school. Lord, wilt thou raise up men for the offices? Oh, could it be also in that holy ministry? Oh, that we might be gladdened with thy deeds in the months that lie before us. Oh, that thy hand may be seen, and that we may rejoice together in all that thou doest. And when man has no power, and when it can only ruin everything, oh, then thou art such a surprising God. And when thou dost do thy own work for the sake of thy church, oh Lord, we beseech thee that thy people may be fed in the midst of our denomination, and that thy kingdom may come and increase amongst us, and that we in a personal way would not be left behind, each and every one of us. Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us? O Lord, the elections are to take place so soon. O we beseech thee, and that thou wouldst watch over us as a nation, and that thou may give us men of thy choosing to lead us back again to thy holy word of truth, and to thy law and to thy testimonies. For if we speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in us. O grant then in our country a turning back, O that we might bow our knees once again and pray to the Lord of heaven and of earth. Look upon us in this hour. O give to us to feel thy nearness and thy presence. O grant us an undeserved blessing out of the heavenly storehouses of the greater Joseph. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 297, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let His ransom testify from all their foes secure. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 297. beloved congregation, last Lord's Day, we heard that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Father of our creation, and that He is the Father of every one of His people, who are adopted of God, to be His children and to be His heirs. What is more desired by God's people than that they might know that God is their own Father? And why is that? Because there is no more comfortable place as that of a child. If His will may only be according to the will of His mother and of His father, then what is closer to the state of bliss than that of a little child? Because all of His maintenance and all of His security is belonging to His mother and to His father. And all of His responsibility is also belonging to His mother and to His father. And everything that He receives from His mother and His father is proceeding out of the abundance of love and that belongs to this paternal relation. What a lie and that the devil has told to our first parents in paradise. As if independence was happiness. And when the truth is exactly and the opposite, young people, and when we are young, often we do not realize so much of these things. But the prodigal son longed to be gone, that he may be outside of his father's rule. But it was not so long, and everything that he had was spent, and that he longed to be in his father's house once again, where even the hired servants had enough and to spare. When the Lord brought the children of Israel, as we have been hearing, through the sea out of that land of bondage, He brought them into the wilderness, and there they have wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. And we read there of that people that the Lord went before them. He went before them in a pillar of cloud by day, we read, to lead them the way. And He went by a pillar of fire, we read, at night, to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. That cloud was a symbol. It was a symbol of the protecting care that the children of Israel came under. When they came for His account, then the Lord is bringing His people under His own wing. And that was not for them only a mere symbol, but that pillar of cloud and fire was also in itself very useful for that very thing that the Lord was doing. That the Lord was protecting them from the heat of the sun, and that the Lord was giving them light by night, and that the Lord was with that cloud leading them. That the Lord was with that cloud showing them step by step the way that he would have them to go. 40 years in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, we read they grieved the Lord. 40 years long it was, I grieved the Lord, says, with this generation. And I have said that it is a people that do err in their heart. And it is a people that have not known my ways. And yet, the Lord never took away his cloud. We read by day and by night that the Lord maintained this cloud, took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You say, why not? Because they have grieved him, and they certainly deserve that it should be taken away. But he did not, because they were his people. And because they would never become other than his people. And because God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Grace, what is that? That is a benefit congregation that can never be taken away from a man. That is the very nature that is lying in that very nature of grace itself. And if the Lord will open our eyes to behold what that grace is, then we will behold something within that grace, in the nature of grace itself, that there is nothing that shall be able to separate our soul from that love of God. That is now the great comfort that the Lord is giving to those of his church that may descend into that sea, when they may cast their case upon him in all their impossibility. And now they come under the care of that heavenly Father. And that is now what our instructors lead us to next in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, which speaks of faith to live as a child. First, in question and answer 27, depending upon our Father's providence. And second, in question and answer 28, profiting from the knowledge of our Father's providence. Faith to live as a child, first depending upon our Father's providence. Question and answer 27, what dost thou mean by the providence of God? The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand, depending upon our Father's providence. Second, profiting from the knowledge of our Father's providence. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand, that without his will they cannot so much as move. So far our Lord's Day. Faith to live as a child, first depending upon our Father's providence. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures. The deist congregations say that the Lord has created the whole world. But after the Lord created the world, he no longer intervenes. Thus the Lord is not controlling anything anymore in the world. The Lord is not upholding the world that the Lord has given the energy that was necessary in the creation, that everything may continue in the order that he has created it. And now the Lord just leaves everything to go as it will go. It is true that the word providence we do not find in the word of God in relation to the providence of God. We find the word only once. We find the word provide very often, and that is in connection with the providing of men most often, and not with the provision of God. Still, that providence, as our fathers have described it, the very concept of providence, we very often find in the Word of God. Thus we read that the Lord himself, the psalmist says, turned the sea into dry ground. We read, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Sometimes we read about the reigning of God. We read about the care of God. We read about the eyes of God, that they are upon the world. We read about the hand of God, the works of God. So the concept of the providence of God, very often found in that word of truth. But the deists do not receive the word of God. That is a very sad example of those who miss the most blessed part of the knowledge of God, because we can receive the knowledge of God that we can get from the general revelation, the natural revelation of God, and yet miss that most blessed knowledge of God that is coming from his special revelation. Thus, by the natural revelation, we may know that God is our creator. All we need to do is look around us. And if we may know God is our creator, then we may also know as a conclusion that he is our judge. But you know, we cannot know. We cannot know that he is our savior. We cannot know that he is our father. And young people, will you not agree with me? And that is now the most blessed knowledge that we can receive. And so without that special revelation, then we miss the most comforting knowledge that we can have as we do go through this world. Thus, What do you do with that special revelation? Do you take that up? Do you read that special revelation, the Word of God? Do you seek to profit now from that special revelation? There are three aspects to the providence of God. We call that preservation. The next is cooperation, or what we call concurrence. And the last one is the government of God, all three belonging to the providence of God. So first, that God preserves. What does that mean? Your mother does that too, maybe, children. And she will take some food and she will treat it, and then she will preserve it, and she will and make sure that that food stays good. Well, when God has created us, then it is necessary that God will also preserve us, that He will keep us alive, that He will hold us up in our very existence. Because if the Lord would withdraw His hand, then God's church will die. Thus, that church of God depends on it. If they are not preserved by their heavenly Father, Paul says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. So we continue to live in Him, and we continue to have our being, our very existence in Him. You say, well, but the whole world depends on that. That is not just God's people. That is right. But that does not flow out of the same fountain as the preservation of God's church is flowing. Because the preservation of God's church is flowing out of the fountain of the mediator, out of the redemption of His church. There are some people, they say that Christ has died for everyone, because even the reprobate are receiving some benefits of the redemption of the church, because of their close association unto the elect, because God is keeping them alive in order that the world may continue, and that His church, and so Christ has died also for them. They are receiving benefits also from His death. That is not true. It is true they are fed. It is true they are preserved. It is true they are kept alive for the sake of the church of God. But it is not true that for the reprobate, those benefits are proceeding out of the mediatorial labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for them, those benefits are proceeding out of the common grace of God, that He is giving unto them what they do not deserve, that is grace. And yet it is common grace. Thus it is for a completely different purpose than the Lord is preserving His church. And thus the Lord is going to give this to them, not out of His right hand, but out of His left hand. And it is not going to be for the saving of their soul, but it will be for their condemnation. All the gifts that the reprobate receive out of common grace are only going to increase their own accountability before God. There is a natural love of God that is to all of His creatures as creatures. So in that sense, the Lord loves all mankind, we might say. He loved that rich young ruler Why? Because, well, there it is his creature. And because, well, then there was a certain outward righteousness in him. But that love is not the same as the saving love of God for his people. God is preserving his church, and that is coming out of the fountain of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he is preserving them even before through conversion. If we will see Israel as a picture, then we would say even there in Egypt, before that he has brought them out of that land of Egypt, when they were still enjoying all the goods of Egypt, living in a land of great plenteousness. And there in Egypt, the Lord has preserved them by the use of means. How did he do that? Well, he has influenced, for example, that Pharaoh. He says, yes, you may go there and live in that land of Goshen. And there the Lord has given the rain from the skies and blessed their labors that everything may bring forth. And so he has preserved those children of Jacob in that land of Egypt. And now, as soon as the children of Israel pass through that Red Sea, they enter into the wilderness. And they cannot, boys and girls, there sow their seed and wait all season until they can reap that fruit of all of their labors. That is impossible. Does that stand in the Lord's way? Oh no, what does he do? He just rains the manna from heaven. Thus he gives them their food in a miraculous way. Thus he gives them heavenly food. And that heavenly food, all the children of Israel have to do, they don't have to labor for that. No, all they have to do is go out and receive it. Just to receive it from the hand of the Lord. Thus that is the privilege of the children of Israel, whom he has brought to the sea and whom he has brought through the sea. Thus, the life of that people that is maintained and it is preserved in a way simply of gathering. That's just like a little child. He does not have to do anything, right? Mother puts it all on the table, and father provides for all of that. And then mother, she says, the meal is ready. Come and eat. Well, congregation, is that not a beautiful way? Is that not a beautiful life? The life of a little child. All the responsibility that is all laying on father and on mother. And now even the natural food for that people is given to them by virtue of the covenant. That is, that the Father has promised unto the Son a seed, and that the Father has promised that Son, his Son, that he will take care of his seed, that he will preserve his seed. Thus, the preservation of that church that is lying under the oath of the Father unto the Son. This congregation, there is a right hand to be perceived in the food and in the drink and in the preservation of the church of God. It is the right hand of God. May you ever perceive it, people of the Lord. You ever perceive that, boys and girls? You ever taste it? when that meal is ready and served to you, how will you say, Mother made it? Because that was made with a very tender and a loving care, and she knows just how you like it, right? And then she is trying to please you with the things that she gives to you to make it for you delicious to eat and nutritious to eat. Do you ever say thank you, children? You ever say thank you to your mother, to your father, for all of their provision? And now, because that manna that is flowing out of the covenant of the Lord for his church, that manna is also sure. That has to continue. It must continue by virtue of the promise of the Father unto the Son. And that is now what ought to make the true church of God completely without anxiety. David says, I was young and now I'm old and have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. No, the Lord preserves his church. We said there is a second part that is called cooperation. You do that too, right, young people? You cooperate. Two, together, working together. So cooperation or concurrence. What does that mean? Well, it means that you and I cannot do anything. We cannot lift one finger. We cannot do one motion of our body unless the Lord concurs, unless he cooperates, unless he operates at the same time. And if we want to do what the Lord will not have us to do, then the Lord will not concur, and we will not be able in our body to lift one finger against him. That is what our fathers say too. Since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will, they cannot so much as move. That's the apostle says, in him we move. Not one inch. Not if the Lord does not permit. And at the same time, the Lord is, that is the third part, governing. Governing the whole world. And what does that mean? He is at the same time directing it. Where is this going to go? What is now the start, but what is now also the end? And the Lord has his own purposes even from the beginning of the world. That is his own decree that the Lord is fulfilling. That was also promised to his own Son. And the Lord is every day doing what is necessary in the midst of this world, that all his decree will certainly come to pass. Say, what about sin? Is the Lord then complicit in sin? Does the Lord cooperate with sin? The Lord is governing it. The Lord is not complicit in it. You say, how is that possible? Well, the Lord, what is he doing? He is placing the inducements before men, and he is leaving men. Thus, he leaves men to himself when those inducements are before him, and he desires what is sinful, he desires what is evil, and the Lord does not prevent it. is something we are not allowed to do. To, as it were, place something, you know that your child will want it and you place it before him. It is something the Lord may do. Why? Because it is a judgment. And then the Lord allows a man that sinful desire which is against him and is toward all carnality and sin, the Lord judges a man by allowing him to continue on and to do what his wicked natural heart desires. And then the Lord himself, he is without complicitness in that sin, thus directing. Thus, he did not suffer. Those 10 plagues, you say, what would that have done to you? Those 10 plagues, you would say, Pharaoh, after 10 times and after the death of your own firstborn, oh, you would think that that man had learned something in his life. But the Lord does not suffer it to make any lasting impression upon Pharaoh. And he withdraws his hand and he hardens his heart and he allows him to go on and to work out his own destruction. And that is all now for the preservation of his own church and for their own welfare, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, we read, Paul says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Let us sing a moment. 396, 1, 2, and 4. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. 1, 2, and 4 of 396. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What a blessed childlike life. Without a care, simply depending upon their father's providing hand. What a blessed thing it is when a man may have such a faith in exercise that he might live indeed as a little child. But now a little child does not have any conscious perception of this within himself, of his father and mother's paternal care, although he experienced it. Moment by moment, he is not old enough, we would say, to know what is happening to him. And then he becomes older. And as he becomes older, then he begins to learn. And then maybe he finds out that father and mother are, human beings. They are not able to do everything. They are not almighty. And then slowly, there is also perhaps some anxiety that can live in such a child, as if he had sometimes to provide for himself. You say, what does he need to learn? He needs to learn that he is a son, that he is a daughter. He has a mother and a father. And what that relation means, everything that is included in that relation, and that he is receiving a more conscious trust that we considered in our second thought, profiting from the knowledge of our Father's providence. What advantage is it to us to know that God is created and by his providence doth still uphold all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Adversity and prosperity, two fluctuating conditions of each and every man in this world. Why? Because of our sin and because of the long suffering of the Lord in our fallen state, having chosen independence and self-reliance, adversity is met with cursing. And prosperity is met with pride. And thoughts of the future are met very often with feelings of anxiety. What a miserable life, both in adversity and in prosperity and in contemplation of the future, all because of our sin. at all now a precursor to that which will be lived out to all eternity. The church is not distinguished from the world in this life by the removal of afflictions here below. Solomon says one event is happening unto all. But where is the greatest sufferings? They are not congregation on the outside. They are on the inside. What is poverty if a man is content? What is poverty if a man is content? And what are riches if a man is not content? Ah, then he suffers, and that poor man does not. Thus, where is that suffering? That suffering is taking place within us. And now if that cursing under adversity and that pride under prosperity and that anxiety under the thoughts of the future could be exchanged for what our fathers say is patience, gratitude, and trust, then the wilderness of this world, that would not be the same anymore. That would be experienced very, very differently. Paul speaks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword, all outward troubles. He says, yea, if for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And still he says, in all these things, more than conquerors through Christ, through him that loved us. So how can that be? What does he say? He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why, that is outward all the tribulations, and inward there is peace. How is the church of God bound unto the Lord? It is by faith. That is not every kind of faith. No, it is by true faith. It is by true saving faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Did you ever experience that? That it is not of yourself. That it is a gift of God. When Israel went now down into that sea, and we have spoken about it, and we said now the Lord has given to them to cast their case on him in their extremity. That was faith. We say that that most important act of faith. And what was the fruit of that faith? What did they find? You know the answer, children. When they got to the bottom, it was dry. It was dry. It was solid. It was a way they could go forward on. That is now the fruit of faith. When the Lord is giving faith, then the people find a foundation. They find something there that will uphold them in the case that they are now laying and casting upon the Lord, did you ever find dry ground under your feet? You maybe profess to believe. You maybe profess to believe. Many that profess to believe. But what are the fruits? And it doesn't matter to me when you say you believe, but it should matter to you. It does not matter to anyone else. We have to appear before God. Thus, whether or not that faith is true, that may be seen and may be felt within yourself. I cannot tell you that. You have to feel that. And if that faith is true, then you are going to experience for yourself that when you could not uphold yourself, then the Lord's way, that way of free and sovereign grace that He opens to your soul, then you experience that ground there is solid. That is dry. Know what that is? You know what Paul says? He says, I know in whom I have believed. You know that? Whom you have believed? Because Peter, no, John, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. You say, maybe young people, I read that in the Bible too, but I believe Jesus is the Christ. Am I born of God? Now, wait a minute. What does that mean to believe that Jesus is the Christ? That is not only in our mind. Now we are speaking once again about that people that are going down, that are venturing. Their heart is going out. And if they do not go out, then they must perish. And thus they venture by faith. And now that people believe that Jesus is the Christ. And they experience that dry ground. And now the apostle says, this is the people that are born of God. Do you know such a believing? Ask you that for yourself. Before God. Do you know that dry ground? And now, upon that dry ground, the children of Israel have gone forward and passed into the wilderness, there to be ministered out of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 years until they came into that land that is flowing with milk and honey. Patient in adversity? Not so much. Not so much. To their own shame, while they are visibly under the cloud and under the fire. Ah, you say, people, cannot you bear a little? Cannot you endure a little bit? Seeing from what you have been delivered, seeing that place that the Lord is leading you unto, oh people, is not every adversity that is laid upon you by your Heavenly Father in order that you may be sons under His chastisement. And not bastards. It's true. You have to suffer a little. A little bit of hunger. A little bit of thirst. But did they now need to fear that the Lord, like they said to Moses, they chide with Moses, you've brought us here in order to allow us, to let us die in the wilderness. Is that so? No. That is not possible. They deserved it. They certainly deserved it. The Lord said by times, let me alone. I will destroy this people and I will make of thee, Moses, a great nation. And then a mediator of intercession. He has succeeded in turning away the wrath of who? Even the father of that people. Oh, have ye not heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful and of tender mercy, patience in adversity, thankful in prosperity. For what hast thou that thou hast not received? And why dost thou glory as if that thou hadst not received it? Can you care for yourself for one moment, preserving your own life in its existence and giving yourself strength and directing everything that is for the good of, that it would work together for good. For the church of God, that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. O congregation, what a great advantage, what a great comfort is the knowledge of our sonship, to take away all fear. When Israel came to the land of Canaan, finally, they come to that land of Canaan, and then they were afraid for the future. Giants, boys and girls, giants in the land of Canaan. And then they were afraid. Say, people, the Lord has brought you through the sea. Do you not remember? What was it there? People of the Lord, it was dry. Remember that? Now those giants, what shall those giants be? But their fears cannot be stilled. Joshua, Caleb, they are not able to take those fears away. Oh, that wicked flesh. 40 years, the Lord says, turn around. Now 40 years. For all the old men to die. They cannot trust, even though it be told unto them. They have an old man too. They cannot trust. Oh, there are people that have no good foundation. No good foundation. They cannot speak about that sea. They cannot speak about that dry ground. They cannot speak about the fruits of faith. And then they go on in the way of presumption. Dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Missing that most essential act of faith. But now, that through Zion, who has been brought there, and who has been brought through, and now over and over again, to smite upon their breast and say, O Lord, if I could only do what I did that day. Oh, truly faith is a gift of God, because, oh, the Lord gave it to me in that moment, and I've experienced in my own life that solid foundation. I can tell you. I can tell you the place. I can tell you the circumstances. I can tell you what went before it, what I have experienced, and what has come after that. And I cannot do it today. Oh, wretched, wretched unbelief that the people do have to complain of. What did Christ say to his disciples? Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Once expelled out of Egypt and brought to a saving trust upon that Son of Man, oh, then that people has the evidence, the witness in himself of the love of a father. And now there is nothing that is able to separate, our father's saying here. Nothing able to separate. No, not what is on the outside, and not even the sin that is continually coming forth from that fountain of corruption on the inside. Oh, to see what grace is. An ocean of grace that swallows up every sin and every iniquity, all being cast behind the back of God himself. And why? Oh, it is not because of the faithfulness of the people, but it is because of the faithfulness of God himself. So we have heard it read, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you to him. Be glory and dominion forever. Amen. We will now read the form for the ordination of deacons, which you can find on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who is chosen to the office of deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person that ought to allege why he should not be ordained in his office, and whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to his ordination. But first you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the word of God concerning the institution and the office of deacons. Of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because of the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministration, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, He means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in the distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 to Corinthians 9. From which it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask the brother who will be installed in the office to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother Johannes Hengsmengel, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your office, as it is here described in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty, to the admonition of the church? What is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Brother Hengsmengel, we have heard out of God's word this hour what it means to the Lord to care for his own church, that there is a promise that God the Father has made to his own Son, that he would give him a church, and that he would preserve that church for him, that it may be to his glory, that it may be to his own enjoyment. And that preservation that is not only for the spiritual things, but also for the natural things. And that's really a wonder when we may see how that the Lord in everything is caring for his own people. And now the Lord could do that in the same way that he has taken care of Elijah when he sent a raven that he may provide him food. Or he could do that as he has given manna from heaven to the children of Israel. He could do that even without means altogether, doing as he did to Moses when he went up into that mount, and that we read that for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses did not eat and Moses did not drink. But it does not please the Lord in normal circumstances to care for his church in such a way. And that is now the reason that the Lord has instituted the office to which he has called you and given you to accept. It is a great privilege to be called and to labor in this office, when you may consider that you are actually, but maybe we might say, an extension of the arm of the Lord. When he will care for his people, that he has instituted that office, that through that office, he may see to it that the people are preserved and that everything is working for their good. It is at the same time a tremendous responsibility. When we think that it is the Lord's work to care for his people, and that the Lord is looking at especially at the poor of his people, and thus to be an instrument wherein the Lord's work himself is to be faithfully performed, that is, from our side, we would say, how is it possible that these things are laid on the shoulders of sinful men? But it is an institution of the Lord. And the Lord works through that institution by influencing the hearts of men. He has influenced your heart that you also might be willing and ready to take up these labors. And then the Lord, in fulfilling what he desires to do, will also influence this people, influence their hearts to give of their substance unto the needy and unto the causes of his own people. And therefore, because it is the Lord's cause, then you may also be assured of the assistance and the help of the Lord in the work that he has placed you in. And in every question and with every doubt, then you may have a place to go upon your knees before him. Also with all of the needs of your family, of your wife, and of your children, the Lord who is faithful will care for everything. And then we hope that also for yourself, that the Lord may bring you unto that sea in that great impossibility, and that the Lord may bring you through that sea, and that you may be able to tell of that dry ground, and that you may come under the pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire, and that you may know also that you are the child of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord is giving, or that we may also be given as a congregation to lift this man up, congregation, before the Lord and the whole consistory, and their wives and their children, that the Lord may grant us to gather a blessing through his offices. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing on behalf of this newly ordained deacon, Psalter 305, stanzas 3 and 5. The man whose hand the weak befriends, in judgment shall his cause maintain. A peace unmoved his life attends, and long his memory shall remain. 3 and 5 of Psalter 305, standing. Thank you. therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and to the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed. Provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that it may give to him that needeth, each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace to both the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified and the kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 48, stanzas 1 through 4. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1 through 4 of Psalter 48.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.